Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
How many of you were here, not here, but over in the other building with us as we worshiped last week at the Unity service? How many of you were? Yeah, we had a nice turnout. Did you think did we have a nice fellowship together? We have good worship? Okay, 2 of you think so? All right. We'll try again. How about that? I thought we did. I thought we had a good time of worship together, praising God and calling on His name and hearing His word. I thought it was a very good. We've got something special planned next week too. I meant to say something previously in the announcement. Old time string music next Sunday as we gather to worship and give praise to the Lord. I thought it was good. But it's been 6 days, hasn't it? Been 6 days, so I've got an invitation. Let's go to the mountain. It's been 6 long days. Let's go to the mountain. It's been 6 days. We've worked hard. We've had consignment sales. We've helped people in and out of the church and feeding people and we've heard people. We've wept with people. We've been with people in the hospitals. We've prayed together. It's been 6 long days. Let's go to the mountain. You know the mountain. The mountain where the fire rains down from heaven. Let's go to the mountain. The mountain where Moses went. He'd been leading the people of Israel through the wilderness. They were hand to mouth every day there. It was a rough, hot place. And some of them wondered out loud. Some of them wondered, maybe we were better off back in Egypt. This is hard. And Moses went up to the mountain. And there the fiery finger of God wrote down the commandments and passed them along, the words of life, the words of purpose, the words of focus, the words that somehow took that ragtag band of wanderers and formed them into the people of God. Let's go to the mountain where the fire comes down like it did for Moses. It's been 6 long days. Let's go to the mountain where Elijah went. The whole country had turned their back on God as far as he was concerned. The government was conspiring against him and the words of God that he spoke. He had enemies everywhere he turned, and he swore in the eyes of God, "I'm the only one left." And he went to the mountain and he prayed, and the fire came down and his holy sacrifice was burned. And all of the little gods of this world were chased away in a burst of glory. Let's go to the mountain where Moses went, where Elijah went, where Jesus went and took his disciples that day. He said, "Guys, it's been 6 long days. Let's go to the mountain today And they went in expectation that the God who visited them this time last week would show up again. And so they went to the top of the mountain where they had heard the stories of the fire coming down. And lo and behold, on schedule, it happened again. If not physical fire this time, at least a figurative fire that lit the very face of Jesus and caused his garments to glow bright white, a fire that told them that this is the Messiah. It'd been hard. It'd been hard for 3 years they'd been following this man. And for 6 long days since the last miracle, they'd been listening to him talk about his coming death, crucifixion. But they went to the mountain and the fire came down and the glory of God descended upon them. Let's pause for just a moment here and evaluate their response. Let's look at Peter. He's the spokesman of the group. He has been told about a week ago that when Jesus goes, Peter's going to be left in charge of the church. And so he begins in that very moment to behave like a church leader. Here's how I know. Because when the fire comes down on the mountain, Peter's response is, let's form a committee and talk about it. And let's start a building program. I propose a building program in 3 phases. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. We're going to need folding chairs. Somebody fetch me some folding chairs. Let's take up an offering and get this thing started. Let's get it organized. Let's get it planned out. Let's go, he says. I swear if there had been a potluck meal, it would have been the birth of Methodism. There on the mountain, with the glory of God in full evidence, somehow his disciples find a way to turn it into business the way we do everything else. We need a plan. We need a committee. We need a team. Let's get organized around this work we have. And then something unexpected happened. The cloud fell. And they heard God speak. And when the cloud lifted, we're told they looked up and they saw nothing but Jesus. Oh, something happened there in that moment when they were surrounded in the cloud that turned business as usual into something special and divine and profound. Something happened in those few minutes when they were surrounded by the cloud that maybe we need to try and get a hold of. You know, I've read this passage a lot of times, preached on it a number of times, read commentaries on it. The commentaries have a lot of fun with this passage. They will talk to you about why Jesus took these particular 3 disciples up the mountain. They'll talk about where the mountain was, which one it was. Is it the same one Elijah was on, or maybe a different one? Is he still at Caesarea Philippi? We don't know. They'll talk an awful lot about the dazzling light and what it signifies. And they'll talk an awful lot about the presence of Elijah and Moses and what that signifies. But one thing they almost never spend any time talking about is the cloud. And it's there in every account of this story. It's there. And yet nobody seems to know what to make of it or what it's all about. The storytellers don't bother to tell us. Theologians haven't reflected on it. Commentators haven't written about it. And I wonder if maybe this cloud stays undefined for a theological reason. And that is, you know, we as human beings, as storytelling human beings, if something's not defined, we'll make up a story to go with it. Maybe we are supposed to carry our own meaning into that cloud. What is the cloud? What is the cloud there on the mountain? Maybe it's a cloud of doing, of busyness. You know, there are the signs of it there among Jesus' disciples, particularly Peter. Let's get this show on the road. Let's get some things done. Let's get organized around it. Or maybe I'm just projecting because that's me. And that's the world I've grown up in and the world that we live in today. Busyness is a part of the world that we grow up in, and it's become a part of the church that we've grown up in too. We wear it like a badge of honor, don't we? If someone said, you know, would you help out at the church next Wednesday afternoon? We wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to be too drunk that day. You know, everybody would go, what? We wouldn't say, I'm planning to be sick. But we might say, I'm too busy. I've got something else planned. I'm too busy. And everyone goes, oh, well, that's nice. Good for you. You must be important. Terry Teckel says, an author who writes about prayer in the church, says it looks as though the plan of the modern church is to keep its members too tired to sin by giving them so much activity to attend to. If you were with us last Sunday, we played that beautiful video, I Am a Church Bulletin, and it talked about all the things going on in the life of this church in any given week. And I had several people come up to me after and say, I did not realize we did all of that. I'm going, well, you know, I did. But I also realized there are things, in 7 minutes, we could not list all of the things that this church does in any given week. We missed several. And I'm excited about that. I have colleagues who are envious of being able to lead a church that is this active and this busy about doing God's work. There's nothing we do that is not good and worth doing. And yet. Is it possible that when the fire falls, we're too busy to hear him speak? And so a voice comes in the cloud. Listen to him. Do what he says. Listen. Do what he said. Not every good thing you can think of, not everything you can dream up, not everything that seems worthwhile or has somebody behind it screaming like a squeaky wheel. Do what he says. How busy would we be if that was the only question we asked ourselves every time a new plan entered the life of the church? Do what he says. It's a cloud of voices. It's a cloud telling us, do this, do that, do the other thing. In that cloud of voices, there is only one voice that has the right to demand the loyalty of the church and the saints. And when all of the other voices are stripped away and the cloud lifts, there is only Jesus. Maybe it's a cloud of complacency. And for all in all the busyness, we assume it means something, right? And yet the fact of the matter is that sometimes we run from one thing to the other without thinking about it anymore. And we've forgotten why we do the things we do. And we find that we are just going through the holy motions. We're doing the holy things. We are faithful without being full of faith. We have lost track of the fire. The cloud descends upon us, a cloud of complacency, a cloud of meaningless action. And the scripture says, and he reached out and he touched them. Love this old poem. "'Twas battered and scarred in the auctioneer. thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1. Do I hear two, $2? Who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, $1,000. Do I hear two, $2,000? Who makes it three, $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." There are all kinds of voices that would try to give meaning to our life. All kinds of things that we would reach out for and grasp to give meaning to our life. But there is one hand, one embrace, one touch that changes everything and gives it meaning. When all the rest are stripped away and the cloud is lifted, we see only Jesus. Maybe it's a cloud of despair or a cloud of fear. After all, life is hard. It's been 6 long days, and we're bruised and we're weary and we're tired and we don't know what to do next. We've lost loved ones. We've lost fights. We've lost friends. We've lost causes. And we're ready to lay down and rest at least, maybe quit. Who knows? There's a voice in the cloud. Get up. Arise, my child. Stand. Get to your feet, square your shoulders, lift up your chin. There is work to be done, and you belong to me. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Maybe it's a cloud of despair, but there is a voice in the cloud that says, arise. And when all of the other voices fall away and the cloud lifts, we see only Jesus. But Lord, it's too hard. We can't. I've tried it before. It didn't work. Lord, we don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. Nobody else could. Lord, that's suicide. It's impossible what you're asking me to do. And there's a voice in the cloud that says, don't be afraid. Stand up. Don't be afraid. And there is only one voice that can with authority speak to our fears and our despair and say, no. Stand up. Fear not. And when the cloud is lifted and we lift up our eyes, we see only Jesus. It's simple, really. I don't mean easy. It's not easy because the clouds are always there. It only takes the cloud, a cloud the size of a fist, to rain a storm down on us. But it is simple. Let's go to the mountain. It's been 6 long days at least, maybe longer. Let's go to the mountain and seek the voice that would speak to us with purpose and comfort and courage, who would tell us to arise and fear not, and would lead us on the path towards God's will. Let's go to the mountain and lift up our eyes until all we see is Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let God's people say.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.